This week's Torah portion, Ha'azinu. It's one chapter, Deuteronomy 32, 1 through 52. And quite simply, to summarize what the whole chapter was about, is the Song of Moses. And Moses was commanded to die on Mount Nebo. And it's quite an interesting Torah portion in that if you look carefully at each of its parts, it very much reads like a court document and as a trial. And it's very matter of fact in its words and in its beautiful words. So I thought most of it I'm going to let the words speak to us themselves. But I do want to point out how it is like a court document. And I want to look at the following questions. And some of them, this one in particular, kind of refers to last week's bulletin in relaying how God's word is compared to like the rain. And so the question we're going to look at is, why are God's words compared to the rain? What is the purpose of calling heaven and earth to hear the words? And what message is God trying to give to his people? So those are the three questions that we're going to look at in particular with this week's Torah portion. But I wanted to show sort of how a court document goes, and it's we'll see that in this week's Torah portion, in calling of witnesses. Okay, it calls heaven and earth. Lists God's character. So in this case, look at God as the plaintiff, and it sort of lists his character. We'll look at that. It lists the people's character. So to the defendant, and talks about their character. Then you have the accusation or what the suit entails, and that's brought forward. You have a conviction and judgment of the people. And then you have an appeal. And this is interesting because who's making the appeal and what the reason for the appeal is. And we'll look at that. And then you have a reversal of judgment. So the judgment occurs, but it's reversed. So I thought it best to let the words speak for themselves. Again, because it is sort of a trial, it's very matter of fact and straightforward. And so we'll begin by looking at Deuteronomy 32, verses 1 through 2. And I'm going to read it from here. That should be the King James Version, but I'll read it here. And 1 through 2 says, "Give ear, O you heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass." One thing I want to bring up about this passage is how it's connecting us back to Genesis and talking about the herbs and the rain coming and the grass coming forward. And that's going to play a role later on as we look at why is heaven and earth called forward to be witnesses. But I thought that was interesting to note is, again, shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. So this is where the witnesses are called. Okay. The next part is publishing of God's character. And it talks about, and this is Deuteronomy 32, and we're looking at verses 3 through 4. "Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto God. He is the rock, his work is perfect, and for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." Now you have to imagine, again, if you're in a court of law and you're the defendant and they're talking about the character of the plaintiff and it starts off by saying the plaintiff is perfect. He's an upright citizen. He has accolades upon accolades of all the wonderful works he does in the community and for all nations and for all the earth. I don't know about you, if I was the defendant in this case, my heart would sink And we'll see why as we go to verse 5, which talks about the characteristics of the people. And verse 5 says, "They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation." This is interesting because it's God's people, God's chosen children. And it talks about their spot, and spot being the word defect as well. Their defect is not his defect, because he has no defects. He is perfect. And so it talks about them having a defect and having a blemish on themselves as a people. And I look back at this as sort of the old saying, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. You know, the apple from this tree has fallen, but that apple has a spot in it. You know, and he's talking about not having a spot. This is not my spot. I didn't put that into them. It's like a parent going, I don't know where he gets it from, because I didn't teach him that. You know, so look at it that way. And again, going back to the example of this being as a trial, when the prosecution talks about, well, you know, he's perfect, has done so many things for the community, and then it comes back to, well, you know, they've been convicted like 20 times, and they continually fall and fall and keep getting in trouble. They've served numerous jail sentences, you know, and that's kind of what this is likened to. So, and we'll go on. Now we'll look at Deuteronomy 12 through 14, I mean 32, 12 through 14. And this is the accusation. Because in this accusation, God is talking about, what did I do for them? And this is how they repay me. This is, you know, if you read through it, you'll find that he goes on to say, and this is how you repay me, and we'll go into that. But verses 12 through 14 say, "So the Lord alone did lead them, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. He made him suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine and milk of sheep with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape." So here he's saying, I gave you the best of the best. I gave you everything. I took you. It talks about he carried them on eagle's wings. And he provided for them, and they had everything, and everything was great and perfect. So this is the accusation. This is kind of mounting evidence against the children to incur a conviction. Okay? And continuing with verses 15 through 16, here's the accusation. "But Jershon waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations provoked they him to anger." So finally we get to the point. You are accused, people of Israel, of having provoked your God by making him jealous, by becoming fat and letting yourself think that, oh, I am fat, I am good, and this is all because of my own hand and my own works. By forgetting the God of Israel, forgetting the rock who is the foundation of all things. So this is the accusation, why he's coming against him. And you got to understand this, it's interesting in where this is placed, which is after Moses had written everything down. And this were, in essence, the final words he was speaking to them before he was to go up to Mount Nebo and die. We'll continue with verses 17 through 18. "They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not, of the rock that begot thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee." So again, his accusation is, you forgot about me. And I was the one who brought you to this perfect place and perfect land and gave you everything. but you've forgotten about me. And so now, because you've done this, you're going to be judged. And my judgment is coming. As I went through this, I found it interesting that, you know, this was right before Yom Teruah, or right after Yom Teruah. You know, and of course, Yom Teruah being the blowing of trumpets. And I feel like, in a sense, Moses is doing that with the people. He's blowing the trumpet of alarm and saying, if you find yourself in this place, realize what's happening. Don't forget the God who is your rock. And we're going to look at more of that in a moment. We're going to continue to verses 19 through 20. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very forward generation, children in whom is no faith. So he's calling them children of no faith. And here's something very important for us to realize today. As we close every service with the Aaronic benediction, it talks about the fact of his face turning towards you. For his face to turn towards you, it meant his face was away from you at one point. And this is talking about that idea that he is hiding his face from his people. Why? Because they're people of no faith, or they have lost their faith at this point. They lost their faith in the God who is their rock, who's their salvation. The God upon whom you can build a foundation, because once you build that house on that foundation, it can't be moved. So, let's talk about the questions that we ask. Why are God's words compared to the rain? What is the purpose of calling heaven and earth to hear the words? And what message is God trying to give to his people? Rain is equal to life. Understand that in agricultural society, you plant the seeds, but if there's no rain, those seeds don't sprout. And so rain is equivalent to life, and God's words are life. Rain equals the produce. So again, they would have the idea that the produce would only come because of the rain. And making that connection that God's word is like the rain, so without his word, there is no produce. Without the rain, all our efforts amount to nothing. Because understand that without his words, we're not under his will. We're following against him. We're following after other gods. I went forward and I changed that and put God's word in place of the rain so we could really see it. God's word equals life. God's word equals produce. And without God's word, our efforts amount to nothing. I think that's important to keep in mind. Now, what is the purpose of calling heaven and earth to hear the words? Well, heaven and earth are not only witnesses, but they're also active participants. Remember how we talked about the connection back in Genesis? Heaven and earth have been there from the beginning, even before humanity. And so it is only they that could be witnesses who are incorruptible by humans, because they do it here, and we'll look at that. They were here before mankind, I just mentioned. But they're also obedient to God's word. Heaven and earth are completely obedient to God's word. Imagine for a moment if the earth decided to stop spinning or to stop, you know, the mornings, having the sun come in the east, so, or the heavens stop their rains. So heaven and earth are completely dependent on God and obedient to his word. And they are the ones that are called as witnesses. Now, what message is God trying to give to his people? Do not let yourselves get fat. And it's kind of double intention there, of course, but I put that on there for myself first, right? But this isn't physically fat that I'm talking about. You know, this is a spiritual fatness wherein you get grotesque to the point where you feel like, look at me, I am so great, and forget about God. Don't let yourselves get to that place. Let me get to that place. You know, because that's where all the trouble starts. And that's what Moses is trying to convey. That's what God, I think, wants to convey to his people. Always remember the rock of our salvation. He will get through everything. It is His plan, and no one can make any changes to it. So we have to always remember, no matter what's going on in our lives, go back to the rock where you have firmament, where you're able to stand and not fall. And in all things, remember Him. You see, even in the trials, even in the judgment that He's sending to His people, His hand is in it. He's impacting our lives. He's touching us. When we realize that He is touching us, then He's behind it. How more quickly can we look at ourselves and say, where did I go astray? Let me go back. Let me reason with You, Father. Take me back to that place where I was good. Now, He doesn't leave us there either, because keep in mind, something incredible happens. It shows us that at one point there's an appeal made. And the appeal is made by God Himself, for Himself and for His own name. Because He realizes, if I continue and I destroy my people completely, the nations will say, it was because of us, because we're mightier than God. And He talks about the nations and how they're not even wise to know that unless their rock had sold them, they wouldn't be able to have one drive, you know, hundreds and thousands. So I want to read 32 verses 36 through 39 quickly. And it says, "For the Lord shall judge His people and repent Himself for His servants, when He sees that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left. And He shall say, where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings? And let them rise up and help you and be your protection. See now that I, even I, am He, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand." If we are in God's hand, we need nothing else. No one can touch our lives if we're in His hand. But for us to be in His hand, we have to maintain that humbleness that tells us we are completely dependent on You, Father, for all things. The moment we start to exalt ourselves, that's where the judgment can come in. That's where we're under the curses and not the blessings. That's the place where He turns His face and hides it from us. Let us strive to not be in that place and to learn the lessons. I think, again, Moses is trying to call out a warning to them to say, remember that, again, remember this part where it talks about, I'm the one that heals and there's none that can deliver out of my hand. And so if you're in His hands of protection, nothing can touch you. And so ends the Torah portion. Baruch Hashem.